Crosstalk Online Radio episode number 33. Today we're talking three right turns to life-changing priorities.
We know you love your church and ministry, but you care more about people coming to your ministry looking for answers. Broadcasting from the beautiful lakes of Minnesota and the Twin Cities, welcome to Crosstalk Online Radio with Jason Sism. This podcast is where faith becomes life by equipping you for success in your family, ministry, and life. In this popular show, you come to get the tools you need to transform lives and reach your community for Christ. So come along, be refreshed, and draw near to the heart of God. Now here's your host, Jason Sism.
And succeeding in our family ministries in life is what I love to do here at jbsism.com. Well, my friends, welcome to Crosstalk Online Radio. I am so glad and honored that you are here. My name is Jason Sism. Well, today we're going to be talking about priorities and what that looks like. And especially as we are approaching the end of our 2015 year, we find out that we're very time conscious. We're always looking at our watches. We're always thinking, well, maybe is the pastor done? But the important thing to remember, there has to be an order. And if we want to truly be successful in our family, ministries, and life, we have to know what proper order is. Well, today, my friends, we're also going to be diving back into John Maxwell's daily devotional on leadership. All of this and more is coming up next here on Crosstalk. All right, my friends. Well, welcome back to Crosstalk Online Radio. You know, this is one of the highlights of my week. I absolutely love doing this podcast. And this episode today is going to be just a little bit different. And I'm not going to be talking into the mic here the whole episode, because I'm going to play for you a sermon I gave just this past Sunday. And the whole sermon is around the idea of priorities and why it's so vitally important for us as believers in Jesus to have our priorities in order and what that looks like. And so I want to give you three right turns to life-changing priorities. And you'll understand what that means in just a little bit here. But I also wanted to let you know a couple of things that I'm really, really excited about here at jbsism.com. And I am working on a brand new redesign of the website. Currently, my website is hosted on WordPress.com, and there's nothing wrong with WordPress.com. I still consider, if you are just starting out in blogging and you really don't have an audience, or you really have not been blogging for very long, or you just kind of blog about everyday stuff, WordPress.com is a great place to begin your blogging career. And but I'm now at the point where I am needing to take my platform and take my online business to the next level. And so to better facilitate that, and really to better serve you, because everything that I do is for you, the listener. Everything that I write is for you, the reader. And I want to make sure that you have the best experience possible. And so what I am doing is I'm crafting a brand new website, and it is state-of-the-art. You can actually subscribe right on my website. Right now, you have to click onto an external link to subscribe. And so I'm wanting to fix some of that so that you can subscribe right there. All you have to do is just give an email, and you're subscribed to the weekly e-newsletter. And again, if anybody who is part of my weekly newsletter, you will get extra special content, extra special emails directly from me, as well as updates to the blog. So I'm really excited about that. And the other cool thing that I'm adding to the website is clickable tweets. And so I'm going to be pulling out of each blog post just something really simple that you can tweet to your friends. And I'm really, really excited about that. And the other thing is, if you find the content that I create here at Crosstalk Online Radio valuable, and you find that what I am giving you truly value, I encourage you to help me out. What I want you to do is go to jasonsism.com/support. So jasonsism.com/support. And there you'll be able to support the production of this show. And it'll take you to my Patreon page where you can support the production of the show. And all I'm asking is just $1 an episode. And, you know, you don't have to give much at all. But every little bit will help. And it'll help give better content for you. Because my goal is to help take you to the next level in your leadership. Help take you to where God would have you be. And so jasonsism.com/support. And you can support the production of this show there. And you will become, no joke, you will become producers of this show. So I will name you and mention you as a producer of this show. And on the Crosstalk page on the website, you will be listed as a producer. So that I am excited about. So anyway, I'm not going to talk a whole lot longer here. I am going to dive into, here, John Maxwell's devotional. Wow, that was a little loud. Sorry about that. John Maxwell's daily devotional on leadership. And the title of today's post is called See the Leader, Know the Followers. Well, I'm going to be reading out of Proverbs chapter 29, verses 2, 4, 7, 12, and 18. And I do not expect you to remember that. Here's what the scripture says. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked man rules, the people groan. The king establishes the land by justice, but he who receives bribes overthrows it. The righteous considers the cause of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge. If a ruler pays attention to lies, all of his servants become wicked, and there is no revelation. The people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. Here's what John Maxwell writes in the Maxwell Leadership Bible. People reflect their leader. They cannot expect followers to grow beyond their leader. We cannot expect followers to turn out fundamentally different from their leader. Consider what Proverbs tells us about the influence of good and bad leaders. Attitudes. When good leaders rule, people rejoice. When the wicked reign, people groan. Stability. When moral leaders rule, they establish justice. Compromising leaders tear things down. Compassion. Good leaders express concern for the poor. Bad leaders reflect no compassion for anyone. Honesty. When leaders pay attention to lies, their staff begins to esteem the same deceptions. Vision. Solid vision keeps everyone on track. Chaos reigns wherever vision lapses. Now, here's the thing. We as leaders have such tremendous impact in the lives of our followers. And our congregations, our organizations, our ministries are only as strong as we are as leaders. And so if we have this negative attitude, this condescending attitude, the people around us are going to have the same mindset. And so our goal is to raise an attitude of positivity and help establish a lifestyle within the organization where people are lifting each other up. And so, you know, the attitude, when a good ruler when a good leader rules, people rejoice. And so when leaders are doing good, the people will rally around that leader. You know, we want to make sure that we're stable in our leadership. We want to make sure that we're moral and compassionate and that we are honest and that especially we are making sure we are establishing vision. And one of the best things that we as leaders can do is making sure that we are communicating the vision that we have, that we believe God has given us for our church, for our business, for our ministry, whatever it may be, that we are constantly communicating that vision and that mission. Because if we are not communicating that in a very tangible and real way, we are going to be missing out on something great. And really, our organizations will begin to falter because where there is no vision, the Bible says, the people perish. And now, my friends, we're coming to one of my favorite parts, the feature presentation. And so everything I want to talk to you about is already been said, and so I'm going to be playing for you my sermon from this last Sunday. And I pray you hear my heart in this message, because God wants us to establish priorities in our life, and we want to make sure that those priorities are right. So without any further ado, here's last Sunday's message. I hope you enjoy. But anyway, today we're going to be talking about first. The idea of first is a series that's designed around priorities and how we can learn to take our time, take our priorities, and put them in order, put them in a right order. And how many would agree that we are consistently reminded that one thing begins and another thing ends? Do you agree with that? You know, the sun rises and the sun sets. The caterpillar turns into a butterfly. So the caterpillar's life ends, in a sense, and turns into a butterfly. And we have another thing that comes and goes, and that's our year. And our year is fastly wrapping up. And how many had New Year's resolutions? Well, very few people. How many tried to have a New Year's resolution? Okay, that's a little more like it. How many have actually completed their New Year's resolution? Sort of, right? You know, the funny thing is, we're going to start it all over again in January. And we're going to wonder why. Why don't we accomplish what we set out to accomplish? Why don't we have our priorities take over? Well, we're going to look at that today. And so this morning, I entitled the sermon, First Things First: Three Right Turns to Life-Changing Priorities. You know, it's important for us to remember order. It's important for us to remember what comes before and what comes after. It's important for us to know how we're to live our life. I think so many times we get caught up in not only the status quo, but we get caught up in not doing much. We let our days come, we let our days go. And because we let our days come and go, we wonder why we never got anything done. Have you ever been there? Or am I the only one? Well, we are constantly reminded in Scripture that our days are limited. Job chapter 7. Now, I'm going to fly through a bunch of these scriptures. They will be on the screen for you. I'm reading out of the NIV here. Job chapter 7, verse 6. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. They come to an end without hope. Remember, O God, that my life is but a breath. Now, here's the funny thing. What in the world is he thinking when he writes a weaver's shuttle? Okay, I'm a writer. I get writer's block. So I can imagine, here's Job writing his book, writing his story down. He goes, my days are swifter than a hammer? No, that's not right. My days are swifter than a crescent wrench? No, that's still not right. Hey, there's a weaver shuttle over there. My days are swifter than a weaver shuttle. I find that really funny. But here's the thing. I think what Job was saying is he was trying to give us an illustration of what a weaver shuttle is. He's saying our lives are interwoven together, not only with God's purposes, God's plans, God's ideas for our lives, but they're interwoven with other people. They're interwoven with our priorities. And what happens is when we come to the end of our life, just like when somebody is weaving something, whether it's a basket, whether it's a blanket, when they're weaving, they come to the end of the project, they tie it off and they cut the cord. And that means this project is done, it's over, it comes to an end without any hope of continuing. And our lives are very similar to that. He continues on in Job chapter 9, my days are swifter than a runner. They fly away without any glimpse of joy. Well, isn't that just delightful? I think Job was having a bad day. David writes in Psalm 39, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. My life is no longer than the width of my hand, and the entire lifetime is a moment to you. Human existence is but a breath. Flip over to James chapter 4. James writes, now listen to you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Think about it. God's breath not only created the universe, created the world, created us, but from the moment of Adam till now to when God says, I'm going to destroy the world and be done with it, go to the world, that is all in. Think about that. So your life is just a little inside the. There's not much. Your life is really succumbed to a single breath. Moses said, teach us to number our days all right, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Because our life is just a mist, it's here today, it's gone tomorrow. We have to come to the decision-making point in our life. What am I going to do with the priorities that I have in my life? And am I going to leave a legacy that's going to last 100 years from now? But more importantly, am I going to leave a legacy that's going to last for eternity? And I think so many times we find that our priorities are just for here and now, and we don't think about eternity at all. We think that eternity is, well, we'll get there when we get there. But really, how we live our life right now, how we think, how we live, how we act, affects how our eternity will be. Are you guys with me? You know, so many times we say, you know, someday I will. Someday I will be. You know, like for me, because I'm a writer, there was a time in my life when I said, I will be a writer someday. I want to be a writer someday. Even after I had published my first book, I still had the notion of, I want to be a writer someday. I want to be a writer when I grow up. But the reality was, I had to get out of that mindset and say, I am a writer. And I made the decision at the beginning of this year, say, you know what, I am a writer. I could do something about this. And so I made it a goal and a purpose and a priority, saying this is how I'm going to live my life to help enrich other people's lives. And now I can say as of today, just starting from January till now, I have had over 2,000 first-time visitors to my blog, 150 of them per month on average. Last year was an average of 6 to 12 a month. And it's all because I made a decision and said I'm going to act out my decision. So how do we prove that our priorities can actually accomplish something? But a lot of times, I can also ask you this. How can I prove to you that your priorities don't match up to what you do? Think about it. If you take a piece of paper, write on one side of a piece of paper all of your priorities, what you consider a priority in your life, draw a line. On the other side, on the right-hand side, write everything that you do in your day. And then see if they match up with your true priorities. Do they? Don't they? You see on the screen here, this is my ideal week. I put this together, and it shows kind of an overall idea of what I want my ideal week to be. And so I've designed this to help give myself more margin in life. And so anything that's in green, those I consider my priorities. Anything that's in red, really could care less about. I don't know if you can see them, there's a couple white boxes. That could either be I could care less or it could be a priority. But I wanted to make sure that I had my priorities in order. And you'll see at the bottom here that, you know, I've scheduled time out for my wife because I want to make sure I am investing in my marriage. I've scheduled an entire evening here. I'm going to take this evening, and this is the evening. It's just going to be the two of us. We're going to invest in our marriage together. I have gray boxes. These gray boxes are my margin. I can do whatever I want, and I'm going to invest in my family, invest in my wife, because it's a priority for me. You know, our days are numbered. Our days are here today, gone tomorrow. So what do we have to do? We have to put first things first. Former CEO of Thomas Nelson, Michael Hyatt, he said this on his blog. He said, "In my experience, the key to work and life balance begins by getting crystal clear on your priorities." You know, we have to know what they are. And this is why I mentioned earlier, write down your priorities. Write them down. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to accomplish in my life. This is the legacy I want to leave behind. This is where I want to see myself in 5 years. This is where I want to see myself in 10 years. This is where I want to see my children when they grow up and when they get married and when they begin to have children. This is what I want to see my family become. See, it's all a matter of what our priorities are, but we have to keep in mind that everything in our priorities must align to our spirituality. Amen. Because if it's an earthly gain priority, it's not worth pursuing. There's only one thing worth pursuing, and that is taking our spiritual level to the next level, our spiritual life to the next level. Secondly, we need to give focus and energy to the things that really matter. And this is going back to eternity matters. What we do here, what we do now, will reflect our eternity. And if we're not focused on eternal things, we're not focused on the right things. And thirdly, just do it now. Don't wait. Just do it. Get crystal clear on your priorities. I have a very strong set of priorities in my life. Now, I want to give you a difference. Priorities are not a to-do list. They're not a to-do list. So you can't just say, I'm going to check off what I've done. So if God's on your priority list, it's not, well, I did my God time this week. We're good. Well, I did my family time, and, you know, we're good. So here's my priority list, and they're in this order. Number one is God. He's my top priority. If he's not the center of everything I do in my life, he's not the center of my family, he's not the center of my finances, he's not the center of me driving down I-94, then what am I doing as a believer? He needs to be the top priority. He needs to take control of everything that happens in our lives. Secondly, is myself. Now, it sounds a little selfish to say I need to put myself in the number two spot, but I am. Because if I don't take care of myself, my health, my sleep patterns, I don't take care of my mental stability, then everything else in my life is going to crumble. And so, you know, I've decided, you know, I'm going to be a reader. I'm going to be somebody who listens to podcasts and uplifting encouragement. On my way to work, I hardly even listen to the radio. I listen to uplifting teaching and encouragement to help keep my mind sharp all the time. Thirdly is my wife. She is my right arm. She's my strength. And realistically, I really can't do anything without her. I'd be lost. She holds me accountable. She keeps me focused on the things that are most important. If I don't take time to invest in my marriage, it will crumble. And I've seen it happen too many times. Next is my family. My family is so important to me. I'm a 2-week-old dad, so I'm pretty excited about that. But the thing is, I have to be intentional about investing into Amelia right now. Because if I don't invest into her now, if I don't pray over her now, I don't pray God things into her now, when she grows up, it's not going to be there. So I have to start now. And if you're not praying over your children now, start praying over your children and see what God can do. Keep your church. Church, do not fit church into your life. I'm going to say that right now. Do not fit church into your life. Because if you fit church in your life, next thing you know, you're going to miss a week, you're going to miss 2 weeks, you're going to miss 6 weeks. Like, oh gosh, I really haven't been to church in a while. So stop fitting church into your life. Revolve your life around church. Revolve your life around church. It is the single most important activity you can do in your spiritual life. It's going to encourage your family, enrich your family, bring up your spiritual well-being. It is the number one single most important activity that we can do in our life. So revolve your life around church, not the other way around. And I know that's kind of harsh to say. It's like, gosh, you know, I got my work job and I got, you know, family stuff and I got this. And well, why not just bring the family along? I think we're a pretty good church. Do you remember, we're a spiritual being first. We're body, soul, and spirit. If we don't focus on that, what are we really focusing on? You know, we are to leave a godly legacy for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. And I'm a testament of that. My parents are pastors. And they raised me in the admonition of the Lord. My grandparents are missionaries and pastors. They raised my parents in the admonition of the Lord. My great-grandparents were actively involved in their church. They raised their children in the admonition of the Lord. My great-great-grandparents on my mom's side were ministers. And so a godly legacy can go from generation to generation. And so this is why it's so important for us to leave a godly legacy and focus on spiritual things. So what do we have to do? Here's the three turns I want to give you real quickly. And I know I'm going fast. You guys okay? And if I go a couple minutes over, I hope your roast doesn't burn. No, I won't go that far. Anyway, so number one, turn when into now. Turn when into now. Would you say you tend to make excuses for not getting things done? Yeah. Oh, I should have done that. Darn it. Golly, Bill. I gotta fix that one. Like, I should have texted Adrian Agri back. She's teaching the youth right now, so I can use her as an example. I should have texted her back yesterday, and I never did. And so I texted her this morning. I'm like, I am so sorry. You know, whoops, priority slipped the brain there. And that was a to-do list priority, by the way. But we tend to make excuses. Or how about this one? Ooh, this one might hurt. When I start making more money, I will tithe. Come on. When I make more money, I'll tithe. So instead of saying, well, when, how about, you know what, I really don't need that $5 Starbucks mocha this week. I'm going to bring that $5 and put it in the offering plate. And the next week you say, you know what, I don't need two of those mochas a week. You know, because I get five of them on my way to work, so I really don't need two of them. I'm not talking about me personally, but it has happened. You know, so now I have $10 to put in. You see, it's a matter of where your priorities are at. Or how about this? As soon as I get a bigger house or a bigger place to stay, I'm going to start a small group. My wife and I, we started a small group in a one-bedroom apartment. Had eight people in that tiny little living room. It got squishy. But that's okay. You know, God is in our midst when two or more are gathered together. Amen? Hey, when I get some more free time, I'm going to start volunteering and giving some time to the church. Ouch. That could hurt. You know, instead of watching that Supergirl TV show or Green Arrow TV show, maybe there's something that could be done at church. Oh, I'm talking to myself. You know, it's time for us to stop making excuses and turn our when into now. 2 Corinthians 6 says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And here's the good news. If you don't know Jesus, today is your day. It's time to start putting God first in your life because everything will change. Number two, turn intentions into actions. Anyone who does not, Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. So what area, this is a question to ask yourself, what area in my life, I'm not talking about me personally, ask yourself the question. What area in my life am I sinning in my walk with God right now? You know, if we come back to the tithing piece, well, God says bring your tithes into the storehouse because if we do, he's going to open up the windows of heaven, pour out such a blessing, we're not going to have room to receive it. Well, he says bring your tithe into the storehouse. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. So if you're not tithing, here's a test for you to do. Test God in this, the Bible says. That's the only place in Scripture God says, test me in this. So bring a dollar next week. Put it in the offering plate. If that's as far as your faith will go, then bring a dollar. If your faith will go $10, bring 10. If your faith will go 50, bring 50. Stretch your faith. See, we have to focus on the power of God in our lives. There are a lot of things I want to do, I know personally, but I can't do it without his power. 1 Peter says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. See, the end of the year is near. So if you want to go further in your walk with God, I encourage you to start reading Scripture. Maybe read a verse a day. Imagine the power that could happen if you read a verse a day and pray a single sentence a day. So take the next 30 days and do that. And I guarantee you, God will move in your life. Secondly, is focus on people. Above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sin. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. So get your relationships right. That's the way to do it. If you want to go far in life, you want to succeed in life, get your relationships right. Start with your spouse. Get that relationship right. Get that relationship strong. Start with your family. Get your family's relationship with each other strong and healthy. And then get your relationship with each other here in the church. We have the best church in the world. Amen? Amen. And the best way you can do that is by getting involved. Get involved here because we have more people in this city we can reach with the gospel. But we can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. Pastor Dale and Sandy can't do it alone. And so I encourage you to get involved. Find your purpose. That's number three. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in various forms. 87% of the church does not know what their spiritual gift is. So, you want to know what your spiritual gift is? A couple things you can do. One, if you're new, come to our growth track following the service. We're going to have some of our leaders in that room. It's a great way to learn more about what Life Church is and who Life Church is. But also, come back next week because next week is we do a two-part growth track, week one and week two of the of every month. Come back and join up with the second growth track, because this is where you can learn your purpose. This is where you can learn what God has called you to do and how you can be a member of this church and how you can serve this church with reckless abandon. You know, if you don't know what your spiritual gift is, we've got a resource on our website, and I didn't put it on the screen, I apologize, but it's eplife.org/gifted. So G-I-F-T-E-D, gifted. So eplife.org/gifted. Fill out the form. If you've not been baptized, we've had 18 baptisms this year. Last week. And the main thing I kept hearing was, my life changed when I came to Life Church. It has nothing to do with me. I could put on a service all day long. But it's all about, I'm doing everything I can to help you go further in your walks with Jesus. Find your purpose. Make a difference. And lastly, number three, turn your whole heart to Jesus. Let me speak to you very clearly. God loves you and has a beautiful plan for your life. If you do not remember anything I've said today, remember God loves you. See, the truth is, we like to have just a little bit of Jesus. We want just enough Jesus to make us happy. You know, it's kind of like the flu shot. You know what the flu shot is? Well, it's the flu. But a doctor said it's the flu without the power of the flu. It gives you just enough to make you immune to the real thing. Thousands of Christians want just enough Jesus to make them immune to the power of God. They think, I'm okay by coming to church. I put my God time in. My friends, if you want to know the power of God, it's time to put priorities in order. Stop playing games with God. Stop playing games with the priorities in your life. I heard a story of an Iraqi pastor and his son who were captured by ISIS. And this happened just a few weeks ago. They started beating the man, and they said, turn back to Islam. Renounce your faith in Jesus. And the pastor said, I will not relent. I will not give up. I love my God. The ISIS soldiers grabbed his son and started beating him. And they said to the pastor again, renounce your faith in Jesus. And he said, I will not relent. I love my God.
and started chopping the fingers of his son off, beating him. They said, "Renounce or we will kill him." And he said, "I will not relent," through tear-stained face. They took his son and they crucified him. "Renounce your faith." And he said, "I love Jesus, I will not." And so they took this pastor and they crucified him next to his son. Church, he didn't have just enough Jesus to make him immune to the power of God. He knew his priorities. It's time for us to turn our whole heart to God. There's a story to tell. We have the greatest story on earth. And I'm going to say this very respectfully. Some of you are very, very close. You're very, very close. A man came to Jesus and said, what do I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, love God and love people. And he said, well, I've done that. And Jesus said, well, you're really close. You just have to give up completely too. And this is my way of saying it. You need to give up completely too in your life in an audacious way to your desire for God.
Well, my friends, thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. I truly pray that you have been blessed. And, you know, it's been a little bit shorter of an episode, but, you know, hey, that is simply okay. Well, you can find the full show notes of today's episode at jbsism.com/033. And while you're there, click on the link and go to iTunes and rate this show. Or you can just simply go to jasonsism.com/iTunes. So jasonsism.com/iTunes, and you can leave us a rating there. And hey, if you leave us a rating, I will definitely mention you on the show. And again, if you want to support the production of Crosstalk Online Radio, I encourage you to go to jasonsism.com/support. So jasonsism.com/support. Well, my friends, today's show is copyright 2015, all rights reserved, J.B. Sism Ministries, Living Lights Media, and, of course, my name, Jason Sism. And so I pray that as you begin to put the priorities God has established and placed in your life, and you begin to take hold of the priorities, I guarantee you that you're going to find success in your family, your ministries, and your life. Well, my friends, have a great week. I can't wait to see you next week here at Crosstalk Online Radio. And do me a favor, share this show with somebody important. Love you guys. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.